Thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Psychic, where we delve into ancient societies, ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Skeptic Psychic. How are you guys doing tonight? I'm doing pretty fine. I'm probably talking to you in the past. Ooh. And with me, as always, my wonderful, intelligent, brave, clean, reverend sister of mine, my favorite sibling, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hey, how's it going this week?
All right.
That's good. Anything new or exciting on your end?
Let's see. Nope, can't think of anything.
Same here. My computer crashed on Monday, so I've been working either from a little laptop or coming into my office space to use the computer I have at the office, which is a drive downtown, or not really
downtown.
It's a
fun drive downtown.
Not really downtown. It's close to downtown.
Yes. Now, there is something that did happen these past couple of weeks, something personal. We lost not only my second cousin, we also lost a very dear and sweet uncle that was battling a lot of health problems.
Mm-hmm.
So hearts and prayers and thoughts and positive vibes sent, if you feel like it. But that's exactly kind of how this these past couple of weeks have been going. So just wanted to put that out there, not mentioning any names, but.
Yes. We did lose a couple of family members, and so it is kind of a sad time. I'm glad we can still smile and find the joy in the good things despite the sadness.
What's the topic of today, oh wise and wonderful sister of mine?
Tonight we are talking about one of my favorite hauntings. We are talking about Annabelle the doll.
Annabelle, is she kind of like the Florida Keys doll, the one that is in the museum and you have to ask permission to take his picture?
Well, that's Robert. He's an interesting start we'll be talking about in a few weeks. But Annabelle.
In the future.
Annabelle is a little more docile than Robert, I guess you could say, because really, since the incident, there hasn't been any other activities that have happened. And we'll actually talk a little bit more about that, how it may not have actually been the doll, but something in the area that was controlling the doll. So that'll be very
So there was something strange in the neighborhood.
Well, at least in the home.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always been interested in the story of Annabelle, and as well as the Warrens themselves, who were the ones who went to investigate the Annabelle case.
I don't know if you bring it up tonight, but wasn't the original Annabelle and Raggedy Ann doll?
Yes, it was. The original doll is the Raggedy Ann doll. The movie portrayed it as being something more ugly and sinister. And I heard a little quick tip that I didn't get into in this is that the reason it was not a Raggedy Ann doll in the movie is because the creators or the copyright of the Raggedy Ann doll did not want their name or image associated with such a dark and sinister thing. So they had to change the doll for the movie because they couldn't get rights to the doll. Very interesting tidbit
Yes.
there.
All right,
So
so shall we begin?
let's go ahead and begin.
All right. The story of the original Annabelle doll, as told by the Warrens, is both intriguing and chilling. Woo! It is the early 1970s. Disco is going on. We've just got maybe we've had the bicentennial Saturday Night Live. This is the wonderful 70s when a nursing student named Donna received a Raggedy Ann doll as a gift from her mother. Donna, living in an apartment with her roommate Angie, and they kept the doll on Donna's bed as a decoration. However, strange things begin to happen around the doll. At first, the occurrences were a minor and easily dismissed. The doll seemed to change positions on its own, moving from one room to the other without anyone touching it. But as time went on, the activity became more intense and sinister. Donna and Angie would find handwritten notes scattered around the apartment. Even though neither of them had written them, the notes often contained messages like, "Help us," or "Help Lou," seemed pleadingly from the assistants.
Yes, Lou is a friend of theirs that frequently visited them at the apartment. And he also explained unsettling experiences he had with the doll. He claimed that he was attacked by the doll, with scratch marks appearing on his body after he mocked its presence. Now, concerned about the escalating paranormal activity, Donna and Angie did so. First, seek the help of a medium. The medium conveyed that the spirit inhabited the doll named Annabelle. And the full name was Annabelle Higgins. According to the medium, she was a benevolent spirit that was seeking companionship and care. Not a lot is known, but it is likely suggested that the spirit of Annabelle just wanted to be loved and treated kindly. And it was portrayed as a friendly and innocent presence, contrasted with the malevolent entity that was believed to be attached to the doll. Interesting enough, I mean, they talk about how Lou was scratched for mocking the doll, but to me, that seems kind of like a I don't know. Kind of like when a kid is being bullied and they lash out. To me, it seems like something that could have been happening at that point. It's like, oh yeah, the stupid doll, blah, blah, blah. And then, it's like, hey, how dare you say I'm stupid? Scratch.
Yeah. Now, it's important to note that this information provided by the medium is based on the accounts of the even of the events, and the accuracy and authenticity of these details can may vary. The involvement of the medium in the paranormal case is often subject to skepticism and debate, as their abilities to commute with spirits or interpret supernatural phenomena
That did
are not scientifically proven. Alrighty. Ultimately, the medium's depiction of Annabelle as a friendly spirit in needing of love and care adds a intriguing layer to this story, especially considering the darker turn of events that followed and conclusions drawn by paranormal investigators regarding the doll's alleged malevolent influences. However, the situation did take a darker turn when the activity became increasingly aggressive. Donna and Angie began to fear for their lives as the doll seemed to be targeting them with malicious intent. It was at this point they contacted the famous Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were renowned paranormal investigators, for the help.
Yes, we did discuss Ed and Lorraine in a past episode, which I'll link below. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go back and check out that video. But I just want to give a quick recap of the Warrens real quick. Ed Warren and Lorraine Warren, who Ed lived from 1926 to 2006, Lorraine from 1927 to 2019. So she definitely outlived Ed for quite a while. They were married, and they were a couple that were based in Connecticut of the United States. Ed had a background in World War II as a Navy veteran, and he later became a self-taught demonologist, which is interesting because I always thought he was deemed by the church.
I
But
think that was
from
later when they he kind of deemed him the church did kind of recognize it, you know.
okay. Now,
That's what I've heard.
okay. I did remember hearing something about that the church did recognize him for his work with demonology. And Lorraine was a clairvoyant and a medium. She was actually tested and found to be the real thing, which is very interesting. Now, they did investigate thousands of cases over their career, and these range from haunted houses to possessions. They were particularly known for their high involvement in high-profile cases such as Amityville and the Edenfield poltergeist, as well as the Haunting in Connecticut, which is another one that is a big movie. Or no, I'm sorry. Haunting in Connecticut was their nephew John Zaffis, but they were in the other one. I can't remember what it is. I have it here. But it was a movie that the Annabelle movie was part of, so they'll see that later. But they did investigate, I'm sorry. They established the New England Society of Psychic Research, or NESPR. They also
NERPS.
have NESPR.
NESPR.
Yeah. They also have an occult museum, or they used to have, in Monroe, Connecticut. It did house various alleged haunted, cursed, I'm sorry, haunted or cursed artifacts that collected during their investigations. And this did include the famous Annabelle doll.
That is interesting. Yeah. I mean, Ed also, with his wife Lorraine, authorized several books documenting their investigations into the paranormal, including The Demonologist, The Extraordinary Career of Ed and Lorraine Warren. They also appeared in documentaries, television shows, and interviews discussing their experiences and their insights into the supernatural. While Ed and Lorraine had many supporters, they also faced skepticism and criticism from skeptics, scientists, and other paranormal investigators. Critics often questioned the validity of their claims and of their methods used in their investigations, highlighting the lack of scientific evidence to support their findings. Through their work, Ed and Lorraine left a lasting legacy and impression into the field of paranormal. And their work continues to be captivated and intriguing audiences from around the world.
Going back to the case of Annabelle, there's not a lot of detail of the investigation itself. However, Ed and Lorraine likely conducted extensive interviews with Donna and Angie and even Lou. These were the ones who were directly affected by the doll, so they were the ones that they would be gathering the details of for this paranormal occurrence. This would include, talking to the witnesses about the movements of the doll, the appearances of these notes, and any attacks or manifestations that they had gone through. They would have also visited Donna and Angie's apartment to go through an on-site investigation. This would be gathering evidence firsthand. They also could have observed the behavior of the doll Annabelle itself, and by this documenting any paranormal activity that occurred in the vicinity. With all of this, it would have assessed the overall environment for signs of supernatural influence. Being a clairvoyant and a medium, Lorraine would have utilized her psychic abilities to tune in to the spiritual energies that were present in the apartment and around specifically Annabelle the doll. She may have been able to pick up on psychic impressions or intuitive thoughts that provided further information about the nature of the alleged haunting with these entities involved.
Now, the Warrens would closely examine the Annabelle doll itself, looking for any signs of tampering, manipulations of the paranormal influences. They may have also conducted tests or experiments to assess the doll's properties and determine if they're exhibiting any type of abnormal behavior. I didn't even know that was a word. I said it perfectly. Anomalous.
Yes, like if it's an anomaly.
Yeah. In addition to their own expertise, the Warrens would have consulted with other experts and relevant fields, such as demonology, theology, parapsychology, and other types of colleges. To gain additional insight into this case, those consultations may have involved discussions about the nature of the entity allegedly inhabiting the doll and potentially methods for addressing this paranormal activity. After investigating the case, the Warrens came into the conclusion that the doll was not possessed by the spirit of young girl, as previously believed, but rather a malevolent entity pretending to be so harmless. Notice I'm blinking my eyes there. They determined that the doll was a conduit for demonic forces seeking to possess and harm all the occupants of the room and the apartment, too.
Yes. Now, to protect Donna, Angie, and Lou from further harm from this possessed doll, the Warrens did take it to it. They did take it with them and placed it in this occult museum that they had. It was placed in a specially blessed glass case, and it, you know, had different religious symbols placed around it to, you know, keep whatever was in it at bay. And it was, you know, added along these other haunted objects and cursed objects in this museum. Now, Annabelle does remain one of its most famous exhibits, or should I say infamous exhibits. There are, however, differing accounts to whether paranormal activity ceased in Donna and Angie's apartment after the doll was removed, as I mentioned to this before. Some sources do suggest that the activity subsided or ceased altogether. However, others have claimed that the disturbances continued despite the doll's removal. So that goes back to what I was saying earlier about how it is possible that it was not the doll itself that was possessed, but there was something else in the home that was using it as it can do it to, in order to make itself known or its presence known in the home.
Now, I did hear one story about the Annabelle doll after Ed and Lorraine took possession of it. A reporter had come in to interview Ed and Lorraine Warren, and they used to keep Annabelle in the study before they built the museum. And this reporter is sitting there waiting for Ed and Lorraine to come in when she hears this little voice saying, "Help me!" And she's like wondering what's going on. And she looks over at the Annabelle doll, and the head turns its head and says, "Help me!"
Interesting. I think
I
remember.
So as she comes up to the door, it seemed to be a little door that, you know, into the case, about ready to open it up when Ed and Lorraine come in and stop her.
Interesting. Now, according to Ed and Lorraine and their version of the events, the activity in the apartment did persist after they took the doll away. Now, why they didn't bless the home is beyond me. But they believed that the doll itself was not the source of the activity, but rather a conduit, as I mentioned before. So removing the doll from the home did not necessarily resolve the underlying issue or stop the disturbances. So it goes back to my question. If it was not the doll, it was the home. Why did they not perform a blessing on the home? Why did they say, okay, we're going to take this doll away, everything's going to be fine, and then everything's not fine, and then they're gone?
Now, however, there are alternate accounts that suggest that the activity ceased, it ceased, stopped, once the Annabelle doll was removed from the home. These accounts often present a more dramatic or sensationalizing versions of events, with the removal of the doll symbolizing the defeat of the malevolent entity and the end of the haunting. Ultimately, the true outcome of Annabelle's case would be subjected to interpretation and debates, with various sources presenting and continuing conflicting narratives. It's important to approach these accounts with critic style and consider the perspectives and biases of those involved in telling the story. Once Annabelle was placed in the Warren's occult museum, there are no widely reported incidents of paranormal activity directly involving the doll. However, there are numerous claims and anecdotes about strange occurrences and unsettling experiences within the museum itself, which houses a variety of alleged haunted or cursed artifacts collected by Ed and Lorraine throughout their career.
You know, to me, I think that could be due to kind of like when somebody tells you a scary story or you see a scary movie and you get that creeped out feeling, even though nothing's really there. But it's just that thought has been planted in your mind, and the mind is a powerful conduit itself. But visitors to the museum have reported feeling uneasy or experiencing unusual sensations in the presence of certain objects, and this does include Annabelle the doll. Some claim to have witnessed the doll moving on its own or have felt a malevolent presence emanating from it. Again, power of the mind. While these accounts are only anecdotal and not specifically verified, they have contributed to the reputation of the occult museum as a place of paranormal intrigue and fascination. The Annabelle doll, in particular, has become a focal point of curiosity and speculation. This is with its eerie appearance,
A pyramid.
its eerie appearance and purported
Not to be
connections.
confused with a pyramid.
Yes, its appearance. And purported connection to demonic forces that capture the imagination of many. It is important to note that the claims surrounding the Annabelle doll and the Warren's Occult Museum are subject again to skepticism and scrutiny. Skeptics, always trying to ruin the fun,
Nah, we don't try to ruin the fan.
no,
We just
they
have
do.
questions.
They're like, oh no, that can't be true. That's microclimate. Right. Anyway, they often attribute the reported paranormal phenomenon do, do, do,
Do
do,
do do. Phenomenon. Do do do
do,
do.
to psychological factors, suggestible perceptions, or natural explanations rather than supernatural causes. So that goes back to, like I was saying, the power of the mind. And you're hearing all these stories of these artifacts being possessed and all these things happening. And so you're already getting hyped up and your mind's already starting to play that game, and that fear is already kicking in, but it's all psychological. But even though this museum does remain controversial, it is still an enigmatic, it's an enigma. And it's a
Not to be
destination.
confused with that early 90s rock band that did a lot of Gregorian chants.
Oh gosh, I didn't even think about them. Yeah, that was their
Yeah.
song, though.
No, that was the name of the band. Welcome to Enigma.
Oh yeah, the name of the song was Sadness. Yeah. Okay. They had Sadness and Sadness Part Two. Anyway, off topic, ADD rant, excuse us. This is a prized destination for those who are interested in the paranormal. And unfortunately, though, the museum is currently closed. Hopefully they'll be able to get it back opened up somehow. But at this time, you're not able to go check it out. But let's talk about the movie itself and how different it is from the actual story. Tell us, oh wise brother.
In 2014, the supernatural horror film Annabelle was released. It was actually directed by John H. Lynette and written by Gary Darabont.
Okay,
That
that
affects
was.
Gary Darabont
John R.
R.
Lynn
Linetti and written
and
by Gary
Gary
Dauber.
Dauberman. Like
The movie,
Pam Dauber and then add man at the end. So it's Dauberman.
the movie does serve as a prequel to the 2013 film, The Conjuring.
That's the one I was thinking of that the Annabelles were involved with. Sorry, I had mentioned that earlier. And I couldn't remember the name of the movie. That's it. Continue. Sorry.
Right, The Conjuring. And it's part of the Conjuring universe, which is a shared universe of a horror films based on the cases of real life paranormal investigators. Our favorites, Ed and Lorraine Warren. The film is set instead of the sexy 70s, we're going into the groovy 60s and follows a young married couple, John and Mia Form, who are expecting their first child. John gives Mia a vintage doll named Annabelle to complete her collection. However, their happiness is shattered when their home is invaded by members of a satanic cult who attack them.
Oh no.
Yeah, during the attack, one of the cultists, Annabelle Higgins, dies in the nursery while holding the Annabelle doll. That's maybe why she was so ugly.
Possibly.
Following the attack, strange and terrifying occurrences begin to plague the occupants. Mia becomes increasingly convinced that her doll is possessed by a malevolent energy, and the couple seeks help from the priest and later from a bookstore owner whose knowledge of the occult as supernatural activity escalates. Now, the couple realizes that they are in a grave danger and must confront the evil force controlling the doll.
Now, the movie Annabelle did receive mixed reviews from critics, but was a commercial success, and it grossed over $257 million worldwide. This was against a budget of $6.5 million. While some praise of the film's atmosphere and scares, others criticized its reliance on horror cliches and predictable plot elements. Despite mixed critical
Reception.
receptions, the film's box office success led to the development of the franchise centered around the character of Annabelle, and this did include sequels and spin-offs. Annabelle is a chilling horror film that capitalizes on the creepy mythology surrounding the haunted doll. This offers audiences plenty of scares and suspenseful moments. The movie Annabelle is a work of fiction that was inspired by the real life accounts of the doll as reported through paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. While the film does draw upon the elements of the original story, such as there was a haunted doll, let's just say that's it, and the name Annabelle Higgins. Okay, maybe those two things, but other than that, there are several key differences between the movie and the real events. In the movie, the Annabelle doll is portrayed as an antique doll that was given as a gift to Mia Farrow by her husband. Again, however, as we mentioned earlier, the real doll was a Raggedy Ann doll that was purchased from an antique store. And this was given to a daughter from her mother in the 70s.
Also, the movie introduces a subplot invading satanic cult responsibilities for the attack on the Form family and the possession of the Annabelle doll. The element is not present in the real story of Annabelle, and recounted by the Warrens is probably added to generate more of a hoary element to the story.
A hori instead
Ooh.
of a horror, it's a hori.
Yep, it's a horror. We call bad horror films.
I gotcha.
Yes. Also, the time period differs from reality and the movie. The movie set in the late 60s, while the re real life events surrounding Annabelle took place in the 70s.
A whole decade difference.
Yes, the late 60s was a tumultuous time in American history, marked by social and cultural upheaval, which provided its rich backdrop for the horror story. This period is a distinctive fashion, music, and design elements that can also enhance the film's visual and atmospheric appeal. By setting the film in the 60s, the filmmakers can tap into the historical context of the era, including references to events such as the Vietnam War and the counterculture revolution movement. The adds depths and complexity to this story, anchors in it an expedite time and space, which was specific.
It was expedited quickly and
Yes,
specifically.
exactly.
Also, the late 60s and the early 70s were a golden age for horror cinema. Such classics as Rosemary's Baby, which came out in 1968, and the original Exorcist in the 1973, these set new standards for the
Genre,
genre, however you want
genre,
to say it.
right.
So by setting Annabelle into the late 60s, the filmmakers may be paying homage to the influential films and drawing inspiration from their stylist and thematic elements. I can see that. Also, setting the film in the 60s may also appeal to a certain demographic within the film's target audience. This includes fans of retro and vintage anesthetics. This can help attract viewers who are nostalgic for a period or appreciate the visual and cultural references associated with it. While the choice of the time period in Annabelle's diverges from the original, I'm sorry, from the real life events surrounding Annabelle, it does serve various narrative and stylistic purposes, enriching the film's atmosphere, historical context, and cinematic influences.
Now, there were also very fictional characters added to this story, including the Form family and supportive characters such as the bookstore owner Evelyn. These characters were created for the film and do not correspond to real individuals involved in the Annabelle case. It is possible these characters were created to add depth to the story. Also, the movie ends with a greater climax than the true story. The movie concludes with the defeat of the malevolent entity controlling the Annabelle doll, whereas the real-life Annabelle doll remains safely contained in the Warren's occult music to this day. Guessing that the true ending would too be boring, and so they had to spice it up to keep viewers entertained and intertwined, because they're supposedly working on Annabelle too.
Yeah, I think it's hard to came out.
Like many stories, Annabelle takes creative liberties with the sour source material to enhance the scare and auspicious suspense. The movie exaggerates certain aspects of the story and introduces a fictional elements to and for the dramatic effect.
Yes, while the movie Annabelle says that it's inspired by the real life accounts of the doll that were reported by the Warrens, it does take huge, significant liberties with the source material to create a fictionalized horror narrative, making the event much grander than it truly was. As a result, as shown, there are many differences between what really happened and what Hollywood portrayed. Again, once in real life, the Warrens did conclude their investigation and determined that the Annabelle doll was a conduit for these forces. They took possession of the doll and placed it in the museum in Monroe, Connecticut. This did serve, as its final resting place for the doll. Again, it was placed in a specially constructed glass case with multiple layers of protection to prevent it from causing harm or escaping. Again, this includes religious symbols, and a blessing to further contain the doll's influence.
Now, the Warren's account of Annabelle doll, along with other cases they investigated, garnered widespread interest and fascination. The doll became an iconic figure in popular culture, inspiring numerous books, other films, and documentaries exploring the purposeful haunting and the purported haunting, too. Despite being securely housed in the Warren's Occult Museum, the Annabelle doll continues to attract attention and speculation from the paranormal enthusiasts, skeptics, and curiosity seekers. Again, visitors to the museum have reported experiencing unusual sensations of feeling a sense of unease in the presence of the doll, contributing to the endearing mystique. Whether it's true or not, it has left a speculation. The museum is now closed as they are currently marred, and there is no way to visit and test the theory out for yourself. The story of Annabelle and the Warrens individuals' involvement in this case should have left a lasting legacy in the field of paranormal research and popular culture. The doll itself remains one of the most famous and notorious exhibits to ever be held in the Warren Occult Museum, serving as a reminder of the mysterious forces and explained phenomenon. This continues to captivate and intrigue audiences from around the world.
Now, while the true aftermath of the Annabelle story may be subject to interpretation and speculation, the doll's placement to the Warren's Occult Museum and its ongoing impact of popular culture is undeniable. So now we'll ask our listeners and viewers, do you believe the Annabelle doll is possessed by a spirit of a lost child? Or was it something more sinister? Or is it all just fake? Let us know in the comments below on YouTube. If you're listening to us and our if you're listening to this, let's
If you're listening
see.
to this, please join us at the end Facebook group, we'd like to call The skeptic psychic to discuss the story further.
Yes, thank you. Couldn't get the words out.
That's okay. That's why you have me.
Yes. So what do you think of the doll, Rick? I know this is a story that's been around for quite a
Well,
time.
I cut it's like I said, that whole Raggedy Ann thing. I do wish that the movie itself would have actually used a much cuter doll. That would have been a little bit more sinister than the ugly one that they used.
Well,
I mean, they could have done a rag doll, come on, instead of
yeah.
the plastic ventriloquist dummy looking thing.
I think the reason they went with the plastic ventriloquist dummy is people are a lot of times scared of those dolls to begin with, and they wanted to look more sinister than being cute and fluffy. But as to the true story, do you believe that it was the doll that was haunted? Do you believe that it was the home that was haunted, or do you think it was just something that was made up for attention?
I kind of think that, it could have been, again, being the skeptic in this situation, because I've never seen Annabelle nor I've met her. I've seen her on TV. They used to have a show, I think it was either That's Incredible or Real People. They actually interviewed the Warrens and they introduced Annabelle.
I remember that. That's the first time I heard the story. I was trying to remember how the story came about in my memory. And I think it was
I
that
mean,
show you were talking about where they
yeah.
interviewed the Warrens and they talked about Annabelle. And I think
And
they even interviewed. No, I was gonna say,
no,
I
they
think
didn't. They
they
didn't
didn't.
really.
Yeah, they didn't interview the people involved, but they did do like reenactments of it. And you saw like reenactments of the
Right,
home
they
being
the
destroyed and
Right. Basically, they were anonymous at that point. It wasn't until years later that you found out, what their names were. But
Yes.
it could happen. It couldn't, it couldn't happen, that sort of thing. But there's one thing for sure. If your girlfriend's got a little doll on her bed, don't make fun of it.
No,
No.
this is true. I would love to do an episode sometime of things that, of
Things
dolls
that,
themselves.
yeah,
I remember.
we should do an episode about things you shouldn't say to boyfriends shouldn't say to their girlfriends. Let's face
Dolls
it.
to
Yes.
their dolls, yes.
No, not just other dolls, but it's like honey, we're heading out to McDonald's.
But seriously,
I've got a
yeah.
cousin who takes every one of his dates to McDonald's?
Yes. Well, not every one of his dates, but he did take a Valentine's date that there, and let's just say that he can definitely afford a nicer Valentine's date than McDonald's lunch hour. We'll just leave it at that. Don't want, you know, we
Right.
have to, the whole world doesn't need to know who he is, but
Right.
let's just say he can afford it. But yeah, as I was saying, I would love to do an episode on dolls because there I remember hearing a story one time about how the dolls were originally created by the Egyptians, and it was to house the souls of those who had passed that weren't able to travel on. And so it's a very spooky and interesting theory that, you know, I would love to dive deeper into in a future episode. But as I digress, if you are listening on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe and hit the notification so you know when we have new episodes. And if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or one of the others, we ask for brother.
Five stars.
Okay, you're too close.
Five stars. We want five stars.
We do ask for five, but we'll take whatever you give us. If you're able to leave a review, please do. We will read reviews on air. And with that, we wish you a wonderful evening. Our
And
next
unpleasant nightmares.
sweet dreams, everybody. Good
Good
night.
night.